This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Man, what a great place to be. What a great group of people. I'm sharper than this. I'm smarter than this. I went through a couple of planning meetings about this service. Really, I was just a little bit of it. And then I came to the dress rehearsal for a little while, and man, I saw all the stories, and my role is to communicate story number one. You've seen 21 stories, and I didn't realize that the story stopped at three, and then there was a gap, and then it got to one, and so that was a complete surprise. And you know, it's interesting, a lot of you guys have been here for 20 plus years, and man, thank you for everything you brought to the equation. But I'll tell you, in starting the church 22 years ago, I had vision and I had foresight. I knew that it would be an interesting road. I knew it'd be narrow, you know, because it was a similar path to the path we choose when we pick Jesus to be the Lord of our life. The Bible says that path narrows in. It's a squeeze for you, and you're going to have to strain through it. And I knew that would happen in the church, but I didn't. The throw in my mind of that vision, I don't know that it went 20 or even 22 years. And now looking at it, I'm a grateful man. I'll just tell you, I know in all of us, we've got the words of Martin Luther King Jr. in all of our hearts that I have a dream. And this is mine. You have to understand that I wasn't raised in church. I didn't have church background. I didn't see this as a kid. And then when I got saved in my early 20s, oh my gosh, everything became brand new. And somehow, just like my life in sin and serving the world, that, you know, I threw the throttle back and was living in the world at 90 miles an hour. That's how I came into the kingdom. And just thought, man, I'm going to be devoted. I'm just going to go all in. And I just happened to land with people that were all in. And so it was easy. I had people that loved to pray and people that loved to reach people right where they were. So, you know, the whole first year that I was a Christian, every night I'd go to a bar or a pool hall or an alley or a parking lot or something, just where people were, just to tell them about Jesus. I didn't think about going to church to do that. I thought about going to what that was the highways and the hedges. And what's interesting was, because I had such a devotion to God at that time, and I dove into all of it, I could compel people. And that's all it takes. We're not trying to sell the world on this. We're sold. If you're sold, it's all gonna work. And that's how it is. And I'll tell you, the three things, there's three components that I believe that make for incredible life. Number one is making Jesus the Lord of our lives, that Jesus is Lord, period. Nothing else is. Liquor isn't gonna be, partying isn't gonna be, the gambling isn't gonna be, whatever. That Jesus was gonna be Lord of my life. And number two, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that put a dynamite in my life that like nothing else. And yeah, there's the weird side of it where you pray in tongues, but also the, man, just the dynamic side of it was just overwhelming to me. I thought, oh my gosh. And somehow, I'll just tell you, in my unchurched, completely non-religious mind, I bought into that. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is more real than anything I've ever experienced. And so the third aspect, though, is that you marry the right person. And I'm just telling you, the reason I can stand up here today is because I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I married the right person. And that's it. I don't have any more things. Sandy Shear is the finest person I've ever met, and we've raised incredible kids. And just like Taylor said, in spite of my weirdness, I did have a green truck that we called Old Blue, and it made perfect sense to me. And I didn't realize that anybody else thought that was weird. But I miss that truck now. But at my kids, Kennedy's in Norman right now, watching in a dorm room, and I miss her just like anything. But they get older, you know, and then they have lives, and Brooklyn's engaged, and Taylor's married, and then you know what happens? Things like Chano and Chris Hart and Sean Schaefer and Jeremy Bedell, and man, and you back up from there, even it's the Roger Washes and the Eric Englishes, the people that God puts in your life. I'm so grateful for the Houstons and the Hurleys and people that, not because I couldn't tell you what they have. I could barely tell you what they do for a living, but I'm just telling you the knit that I have in my heart to it. Juan Charles, and man, just people that, and that's the key. I'm just telling you, this whole thing isn't about our possessions. This whole thing is about people. It's always people before possessions, people before stuff. And man, if we keep that right, I'm telling you, it'll stay right. You know, I think a lot of marriages fail, a lot of church life fails because the stuff matters. And you know, what's interesting about this is that what I've learned as the church grows and the church remains healthy, that you're not gonna, there's nobody in here, you're gonna outgrow the church. We're not gonna do that. See, it's just our responsibility to keep the church healthy and keep the church growing by growing. We've all have to be in a place of growth where we're growing in life. And man, I look on these videos, and man, I see Jesse and I see little Victoria, and man, these guys are 19 or 20 years old. And man, AJ, when I met him, when I remember Harold when he got saved, and somehow he ended up at my house, and he knocked on the door, and someone at my house let him in, and I was watching a ball game and eating a sandwich. The next thing I know, he came and sat by me on my couch, and it's like I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, what are you doing here? Get out of my house. And I think he did, but he never left. But you look at this, that the staying power of this church, man, over the years, I'm telling you, becomes a testament to people and a testimony to the world that's amazing. Man, that we can do this. And now, see, I've always had this idea that there's always three columns in to our lives. There's the things that we have to do, we must do, the things that we should do, and the things that we could do. And so there's things that we have to drill 100 wells and log it off Haiti now, because man, we committed to that as a church and as a people, and I understand we'd never done that before. We didn't know what we were getting into, but now we're into the 70s of wells, and I'm not sure we've got men that are on the ground and logging off Haiti drilling today. So it's increasing, and we're hoping to get to that 100 by the end of the first quarter next year. And I just think about that. That's something we must do because we said we'd do it. And then there's things we should do. Man, the churches that we should start. Man, the ministries that we should do. You know, people that want to commit to sober living. Man, we've got to help those people. That's something we should do. Man, we should do that. That then there's people that there's things we could do. Man, we could have ministries to whatever and outreaches to extreme amounts of people. But you know what's interesting? There's a fourth column. And the fourth column is the things that we can't do. And you know what dawned on me preparing for this service is there's nothing on that list that matters to me. There's nothing on that we can't do that list, because God has made everything within arm's reach of us possible. God has made that for us. And you know, I listen to this and I look at these videos, and man, a lot of these people, I don't know that you could find my fingerprints on any of the evidence of their changed life, yet there's fingerprints of people all over this room and all over this area, the people that have come through this church and their lives have been dramatically impacted. And then the churches that have been helped just because, man, you're faithful here. Man, you stay faithful and other churches begin to get help. Man, I remember when Pastor Willie George looked me in the eye and he grabbed me by the arms and he said, Bill, I never want to pastor a church without you and Sandy and Guts in it. in this town. I don't want to have a church in this town without you guys. And you think about that. You think about the impact. It just keeps enlarging. And that's what God gives us. I'm just telling you, the whole eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man applies to me. Man, this is beyond the scope of where I could have been. And I was reading recently in Colossians. And you know, I'm just telling you, just in I say this because it was a rainy day when I read it recently, just this last week. I was reading in a rainy day. I was reading the book of Colossians. I got to the third chapter. And the first verse says something like, man, to seek those things which are above and not the things on this earth. Man, seek what's above, not the things that are here, the things that are temporal. Man, seek what's above. Man, we stay on course and stay on commission with Jesus. And man, I'm telling you, everything else is just details. And then it goes on to say to set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. So we have to seek and then set our mind. Our mindsets have to be on what's above. Man, if your mindset's on what's above, no matter what it is that you face, no matter what it is that you're dealing with and what's coming down the path for you to have to deal with, you're going to be ready to deal with it because you've set your mind on the things above. Man, let me just tell you, if it's more than just a notion to you that God's the healer, that it's a matter of fact and it's the truth, that it doesn't matter what kind of symptoms ever come on your body or the people you love. There's a man that's in this church that's been here for years that has just got a horrific diagnosis. Guess what? Guess what? God's a healer. His provision is health, and that's what I'm going to agree with. And you know what? I'm telling you, it's a done deal. That man's healed in Jesus' name. And that's who we have to be. That's what we have to be about. Our feet have to land. The foundation of our faith has to be on God's promise and not all the other speculative things. Not what could happen or the worst case scenario. Man, I just got a call recently from a man that he and his family have come to this church for years and has been a friend and he's got a son that has some addictions. And man, he said his son called, he's been through all these treatments. He said, man, can you help? And you know what? The answer every single time is yes. Yes. Man, I helped him find, we're going to find him a place to live. We're going to help find him employment. And then you know what? Man, I went to Juan Charles and I said, Juan, I went to Keenan. I said, hey, Keenan, man, can you guys help with the guy in the truck with me? The father in the truck with me. I told him the scenario. I said, man, can we do anything? And both of them, without hesitation, said, yes, we're all in. Man, we can do this. We can help him. We can win here. See, it's about winning. It really is. It's not about the score and the scoreboard. It's about winning. It's about who we are in Christ. It's about getting to verse 12 of Colossians 3. And Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God. And you know what's interesting? There's a lot of sovereignty kind of preaching people that we don't have much to do with the life that we live, that it's all set and granted. There's some that die and go to heaven, and there's some that die and go to hell. And I'm telling you, I've reserved a slap in my heart for those people. I just want to slap them really honestly. But therefore, as the elect of God, and now getting past that, holy and beloved. Do you know that God sees us as holy and God loves us? You got that? God sees us as holy and he loves us. He's not looking at you with this pitiful or shameful eye. He's looking at you and saying, man, I see you as holy. And when BJ said, let's all lift our hands, you know what he did? He did something incredibly dynamic. The Bible says that we lift holy hands. So no matter what your hands have been involved in, as soon as you lift them unto the Lord, man, your hands are holy. And everything follows after that in your life. But lifting up holy hands is vital. So now God sees us as holy and he loves us. And we continue in verse 12. And it says, put on tenderness. Our tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has anything, a complaint against anyone, forgive them, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. See, the key to forgiveness, and I doubt that many people have factored this in, because forgiveness is such a difficult deal for all of us, that the key to forgiveness is we're prepared for it. Prepare yourself that somebody's going to be offensive. Somebody's going to do something. It is going to bother you. It is going to bug you. It may even hurt you. It may hurt your feelings. But you know what? Man, we're not immature. We have to be prepared to forgive. Man, you know what? No matter what happens, something might happen tomorrow. And you know what? You're going to have to forgive that person. Why? Because Christ forgave you. But verse 14, now listen to this. But above all these things, put on love. See, the Bible, in the earlier verses in chapter 3, it talks about putting off things. Man, anger and deceitfulness. But then put on the new man. And the new man, that above all these things, we put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Man, the Amplified says that love binds us with the perfect life of God. Man, when you put on love, what happens is that then you're bound, listen, to healing and provision. You're bound to forgiveness and a soul cleansing. Man, you're bound to joy. Do you know when you put on love? And listen, it's just what it sounds like. You've got to put it on like you'd put on a shirt or you'd put on a jacket. See, in the world, to be able to handle the conditions of the world, you've got to layer. And see, I think a lot of people layer what they put on, even in their walk with God and in the kingdom. See, the kingdom's not like the world. In the world, you want to layer. In the kingdom, man, you've got to strip everything off and just put on the one thing that God calls us to put on. Listen, and that's love. Man, then we become the new creation in Christ that God's called us to be on this earth, that we put on love. And then we let the peace of God rule and reign in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. See, what happens is the peace of God then begins to rule your life. Now you're led by your peace. Now you get a tinge in your spirit. You get a check in your spirit. It's like, whoa, tap the brakes. Wait a second. What are we doing? I'll tell you, I've got a word of the Lord for you in here today. And I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God. The promotion comes from above. There's some of you guys that have gotten your feelings hurt and gotten things happen in your life because you haven't received that promotion. You haven't gotten what you think you deserve. It isn't fair. Man, let's redefine fairness as a place that prizes and sells pigs. So now what we're gonna do is we're not looking for what's fair, we're looking above. We seek those things above, we set our mind on those things above, and guess where promotion comes from? Above. And that's where we have to put our hearts. Okay, man, that could liberate you, because the promotion you're going to receive when you trust in God for it is going to be better than any promotion you've ever wanted. Man, it's going to be all of them wrapped into one, and it's going to be incredible, and there won't be any sorrow in it. Man, God gives us riches, gives us promotion, and there's no sorrow in it. Do you receive that today? Man, it's important. So it's the will of God for us to have peace in us. That's what God promises here in Colossians 3, that the world may not have much peace. I don't know how much peace there's been in my lifetime. My earliest memories are President Kennedy's assassination in Vietnam as a kid, and it's like, oh my gosh. Man, you think about what's happening today. Man, you think about all the civil unrest today, that people want what's fair. And let me just tell you, they need Jesus. There's people that are judgmental. There's bigots that are out there. There's all kinds of flavor, man, of hatred and anger. And that's why the Bible says, put that off. Take that off. You may have grown up with it. You may have been raised with it. Just take that off. And put on the new man, put on love, and let the peace of God rule and reign in your hearts and act as an umpire. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, teaching and admonishing one another. That's why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You're sitting by people right now that absolutely know God, absolutely love his presence. Man, they're people that can help you, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, giving thanks to him, thanks to God the Father through him. Man, now we get to a place where we put on love. The Bible says whom God loves, he chastises, he corrects. Man, you think about this. There's a lot of people out there that have gotten offended because God's just corrected them. And he's used people to do it. And you know what? Those people maybe didn't have the right smile on their face or the tone of voice, but I'm telling you, what we've got to do is we've got to have that knower on the inside of us. Yeah, nobody here should point out your guilt or deliver any shame to you or add to your load. But you know something? Man, there's people, you need people in your life. Man, God's going to use people to help bring correction and edification to your life. God's going to bring people to bring comfort into your life. And man, and that's what we have to earnestly desire that in other people, those spiritual gifts. Man, we look at this, that everything you do, do all things, giving thanks to God in the name of Jesus. Man, I want to talk to you about the number one story today. The number one story is you sitting in here today. The number one story, the key is just you growing, being in a place of growth. Husbands, man, grow. Man, for your wife, for your family. Man, a place where, man, we don't get to a place where we think, well, I've grown and I've outgrown it. No, you can't outgrow your prayer time, your study time. Simply studying God's word. And you know what? When you start feeling like it's just repetition, you're starting to get it, because that's all it is. All it boils down to is that God loves us, that we sinned and separated ourselves from God. God gave his son Jesus so that we could be free and we could make Jesus the Lord of our lives to be reconnected with God and have all of him that we can get. That's simply it. And it all pivots, it all rolls around, right? To that, from that, and through that. That's how that works. Man, I'm so appreciative to the God that I love with all my heart. I'm appreciative for you. I'm appreciative that there's so many people, hundreds of people in here today that are writing an incredible story to help hurting people, to be in the will of God, to live a life of peace in them. Even though there might not be much around us, and that peace can be in us beyond our understanding. Man, there's so many of you that have gotten through horrendous things. I'm proud of you. I'm cheering you on. But I'm telling you, God's faithful. He's always faithful.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.